And from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 16, I want to preach a message I've entitled, The Distinguishing Differences Between Religion and True Biblical Christianity. The distinguishing differences between religion and true biblical Christianity. Are there distinguishing differences between religion and Christianity? If so, what are they? These are the questions that I want to answer in our time together this morning. And I want to answer these questions for us on this Easter Sunday morning because we are living in a day where most people view all, quote, faiths as one system, for lack of a better word. Most people today assume that all religious or spiritual opinions, practices, and groups are united under the same umbrella of a higher being or beings, plural. It doesn't matter if you are Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, or Pentecostal. So long as you are sincere, so long as you are striving to do your best to live moral and love others, you will be okay in the end. That's the common notion of our day. It's kind of like ice cream. How many of you remember Baskin-Robbins ice cream? There was a time in which Baskin-Robbins had a selection of 31 flavors of ice cream to choose from. There was one flavor for every day of the month, hence 31. I'm told now that Baskin-Robbins has more than 1,400 flavors in its flavor library. Some like mint chocolate chip, some like rainbow sherbet, some like rocky road, others like chocolate, and then you have cherries jubilee, and others like just plain old vanilla. It's all ice cream. You just have different kinds, different flavors to choose from. That's how religion is viewed in our culture. Some were raised being a part of one religion. Some came to enjoy how another religion does things. Others appreciate how one church makes them feel. It really makes no difference what you believe, how you worship, where you go to church. So long as you are religious, so long as you are spiritual, so long as you are happy. There are different flavors of ice cream, but it's all ice cream. And ice cream is meant to make you happy. This is exactly what we are confronted with in our coexist culture. You are either religious or not. Some people are super religious, others are not. Some people are more public in their religion, others are not. But as long as you are religious and you believe in something, that's all that matters. You either believe in a higher power or not. It doesn't matter what that power is. You are either spiritual or not. You either have faith or not. If you have faith, if you are religious, if you are spiritual, then when you die, you will die in peace and you will rest in peace. And if you don't have faith, if you are not religious, if you are not spiritual, then that's okay. When you die, you too will be at peace. That's what most religions believe and preach in our day. It doesn't matter what you believe in the end, because the God that you believe in or don't believe in will receive you despite your beliefs. So the pressing question that needs to be asked and answered is, what is true? Is everyone right and no one wrong? Do all religions lead to God? Are the differences between religions significant? If so, what are they? Well, at Calvary Baptist Church, as Bible-believing Christians, we believe that there is one God, one faith, one objective truth, one Savior, and one way to heaven. We believe that God has given us His Word so that we might know what is truly of God and what is not. God has given us His Holy Word so that we might know truth from error in a world filled with deception. So that being said, in our practice week by week, it's our habit to read the Scriptures and to reflect upon what God has said in His Word so that we might find the answers to our questions. You should be in John chapter 3 by now. And using John 3 verses 1 through 16 as a foundation for my sermon, I want to give you seven distinguishing differences between religion and true biblical Christianity. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Now pause. Nicodemus has sincere questions regarding what Jesus is speaking about, and Jesus is alarmed that Nicodemus doesn't know truth as it has been given by God in Scripture. Again, emphasizing the fact our questions are answered by Scripture. Verse 11, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, while it is not explicitly mentioned in John chapter 3, I need to begin by stating that most religions, as we talk about the differences between religion and true biblical Christianity, most religions are polytheistic. That is, they believe in many gods. While true biblical Christianity is monotheistic, that is, we believe that there is one God expressed in three persons. And this is point number one on your handout. Most religions are polytheistic. Christianity, on the other hand, is monotheistic. Most religions believe that there are many deities that control the differing aspects of life. For instance, in Egyptian culture, which we find in our Bibles, in the book of Genesis, there was a sun god, there was a nature god, there was a god of fertility, a god over the waters, and so on and so forth. That's Old Testament Genesis. And then likewise, in Greek culture, among the Romans, New Testament Bible context, there were differing gods over the same parts of life. Like the Egyptian culture, the Greek culture had a god over the earth, a god over the moon, a god who's over the rivers and the seas, a god of war, a god of the underworld, and so on and so forth. So among many religions today, we have the same concept repackaged among various religions, be it Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, African tribal religions, and spiritism among Native Americans. Most religions believe in many gods who have differing roles and responsibilities who can be communicated with and honored. Most religions are polytheistic. Biblical Christianity, however, believe that there is one divine creator and sustainer of all things who is expressed in three persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Biblical Christianity believes and teaches that God is one in essence and three in persons, which is commonly referred to as the Trinity. And we believe that God the Father is God, God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. And in your rational mind, you might ask, well, how can this be? Well, the closest earthly illustration to understand such a concept would be found in what we know to be H2O, water. H2O is water. Water is H2O. There are three forms that water can exist in. All three are water, H2O. But water can be a solid, a liquid, or vaporous. Though they are found in different forms, they are all a form of H2O. I know it is a simplistic illustration, but it's the best that God has given to us to understand such a concept about who He is in His eternality. So this is with God. God is one, yet God is expressed in three persons. And here in John 3, we find all three persons mentioned. Nicodemus acknowledges that there is one God. He's a Jew. He's monotheistic. And he believes that there is a creator God. And we find him referenced in verse number 2. And then Jesus alludes to and specifically mentions in verses 3 through 8 that the only way to be united with God, the Father, is through the Holy Spirit giving spiritual life. And then we have Jesus, who is the Son of God, God come in the flesh, mentioning in his conversation with Nicodemus that the only way to be united with God through the Spirit is through His saving accomplishments. So all three persons of the Godhead are mentioned in John chapter 3. And this is the foundation of biblical Christianity. The foundation of biblical Christianity is God expressed in three persons. This is the first distinguishing difference between religion and true biblical Christianity. Most religions are polytheistic. Biblical Christianity is monotheistic. And by the way, Nicodemus, who was a Jew, as I've mentioned, believed in one God before he sought opportunity to talk to Jesus. So what does Jesus do in the conversation with Nicodemus about spiritual things? Well, he begins by making sure that Nicodemus rightly understands what the Bible teaches about the person of God. He begins there. Jesus wants Nicodemus to recognize that the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and He is God. This is the distinguishing difference between Islam, Judaism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, and true biblical Christianity, as we will consider in further detail later. While Islam, Judaism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness believe in a God who is over all, they do not believe in the triune person of the Godhead, and they certainly do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, God come in the flesh. But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the eternal, sinless Savior who was sent by the Father to be the mediator between holy God and sinful man. So this is point number one. Most religions are polytheistic. Christianity is monotheistic. Is there a difference? We begin with this foundational truth. And then we move to point number two. They're on your outline. Religions are based on man's teachings and traditions. Christianity is based on God's holy, unchangeable word. In John chapter 3, we read of Nicodemus, a very religious Jewish Pharisee, who was academically trained in the scriptures. And yet this academically trained religious man was ignorant to who Jesus was in a saving sense. And this truth is expressed in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master? Art thou a teacher in Israel? And you don't know these things?" Speaking of things regarding salvation, things regarding the coming of Messiah, things as it pertains to what it means to be a Christian. You teach the Bible and you don't know what the Bible says? So on the one hand, Jesus was amazed that one who studied the scriptures and taught the scriptures to others was so ignorant to who God was and what God has promised to do for men to provide salvation. Yet on the other hand, Jesus knew that the Pharisees were those who added to and took away from the teachings of Scripture. The Pharisees were constantly charged by Christ Himself as those who perverted the truth of God's word by clinging to their own tradition. This was the great error of the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees in Jesus' day. They had the scriptures before them declaring what is true, but they added to and took away from what the Bible truly taught. A light bulb should be going off in your brain about now. This is the second distinguishing characteristic between religion and true biblical Christianity. Religions are based upon what Pope, priest, or father so-and-so says. Religion is based upon what respected rabbi has written, what Muhammad declares, what Joseph Smith comprised together after some supposed vision. Biblical Christianity, on the other hand, has always believed that God's word is pure, perfect, inspired, and preserved by God. And nothing should be added to or taken away from what God has said. And Scripture declares this to be true in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. True Christianity believes that the one God who's over all has given us one truth in His Word, and that one truth does not change over time. Etch that on your hearts and minds. And just a side note for you, God's Word records scientific truths before scientists found them to be true. If they would have read the Bible first, they would have found out that the earth is a sphere. God's Word, the Bible, declares truth about God, man, sin, death, morality before all the new, quote, Christian religions started. Religions are just a repackaging of true biblical Christianity. God's Word is historically accurate. God's Word is prophetically accurate. God's Word is geographically accurate. And it answers every leading question people have in life. So this is distinguishing difference number two. Religions are based on man's teachings and traditions. Christianity is based on God's holy, unchanging, inspired, and preserved Word. And just a commercial for you. Every week, it's our desire to search out what God has said in His Word. It is not my practice to come up here and say, well, I think and I feel and this is true to me. Truth is objective, not subjective. And truth is objective because it has come from God, a God who does not change. So if you are going to a church, if you are listening to, quote, sermons preached by people who do not have a foundational truth, who believe that they are the foundation of truth, you are going to be led astray. Because anyone can stand up here and say anything about anything. How are you going to know if they're true? Well, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. Well, is there no truth? You see, this is how religions start. L. Ron Hubbard, the creator of Scientology, said, if a man wants to make a lot of money, he should start his own religion. Maybe Tom Cruise should have looked into that before he started his ways. And we're talking about false teachers and false teachings throughout 2 Peter chapter 2, and this is something to consider. We don't declare our truth. We don't declare our traditions. We declare the truth of God. And then truth number three, there on your outline, religion teaches that man is naturally good and can merit eternal life based on good works. Christianity teaches that man is inherently sinful and can only obtain salvation by God's grace alone through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Religion is essentially about man trying to climb a ladder to heaven, earning favor with God so that he will be accepted by God. There's a ladder. You got to keep the Ten Commandments, holding on for dear life, praying and doing all your best to get to God. That's religion. True biblical Christianity teaches that there is no ladder to heaven. And even if there was, you would not have the power or the ability to climb up the ladder because you are spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible says. Religion teaches that in the end, God will outweigh your good works and your bad works. And if your good works have outweighed your bad works, then you will rest in peace. True biblical Christianity teaches that you are not good. No amount of good works will ever manipulate God to save you. And the only way to enter into the kingdom of God is by God, through the Spirit, working a miracle in your soul. This is precisely the message that Jesus is preaching to this religious man, Nicodemus, in John chapter 3. Here is Nicodemus, who is a well-respected Jewish leader. And from what we can tell, he's a very kind and moral man. He's a respected man among the community. And no doubt, Nicodemus is a man who is sincere in what he believes. Otherwise, he wouldn't believe it. Nicodemus is a man who knows the Bible. He's been taught the Scriptures from a young age. Nicodemus is a man who prays. He gives time and energy to religious fasting. Nicodemus goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath days. He most likely tithes. He gives money to religious purposes. And Jesus comes along in John chapter 3 and tells Nicodemus that all that means nothing. Talk about rattling someone's cage. Nicodemus, Jesus says, all your religiosity will not get you to heaven. How could Jesus say such a thing? Well, he could say such a thing because true Christianity is not about what you do for God. True biblical Christianity is about what God in His grace has done for sinful men in Christ. Verse 3 again. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I, Jesus, God, I say to you, except or unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I love this. I love how transparent the Scriptures are. I love how the Scriptures meet us exactly where we are in our humanity. If you're not familiar with the passage, this is a great place to become familiar with it. Nicodemus saith unto him, that is Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You have to laugh at least a little bit there. Nicodemus, Jesus, I've got a problem. I'm a grown adult man. You're telling me I need to be born again. How does this work? I'm a lot bigger than my mom now. Things don't go out that way that much. Got some questions. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," physical birth, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Nicodemus's problem is our problem. He was focused on that which is physical. Jesus is talking about that which is spiritual. Nicodemus, you need to be born twice. You need to have a physical birthday and you need to have a spiritual birthday. You need to be born into this world and you need to be born into the world to come. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must undergo a spiritual surgery. You must be given a new heart by God. That's what Jesus is saying. And this is exactly what it means to believe on Christ. And Christ mentions this in verses 15 through 18. What does it mean to be born again? Verse 15, "Whosoever believeth in him," that is Jesus, "should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him," that is Jesus, "is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." How do we know if one has been born again? What is this process? Belief on Christ and Christ alone. Turning from yourself, not trusting your own religion, your own religiosity, but trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is God, and he's come to die on a cross for the payment of my sin. He rose again victoriously the third day, proving himself to be God. Belief. This is one of the primary distinguishing differences between religion and true biblical Christianity. Religion teaches that you have to strive to be good enough to get to heaven. But nobody knows the standard of good enough. How many prayers do we have to pray? How many church services do we have to go to? What is good enough? How do you know if you're good enough? True biblical Christianity teaches that you will never be good enough to go to heaven. So you need God, who is the perfect one, doing for you what you cannot do. Well, what is that? Well, you cannot obey God's law perfectly. You cannot work your way to heaven. So God in Christ must, on our behalf, live a perfect life, obey God's law, and pay the price for our sin. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is a gift for the guilty. It is not a reward for the righteous. Not of works, lest we should pat ourselves on the back saying, "We did it all by ourselves. We don't need God." Religion preaches a message of faith and works to get to God. Christianity preaches a message of faith in Jesus alone. And the greatest illustration we have in the Bible is the thief crucified next to Jesus, who did nothing but believe that Jesus is the Christ. He didn't get down, go to church, and get baptized. He didn't give money in the offering plate. All he did was believe himself to be a sinner. He was a thief. And he believed that this man who was crucified next to him was the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, God come in the flesh. And he believed that Messiah had power to forgive him of his sin. Faith. Faith alone. That's truth number three. And then closely knit with truth number three is truth number four. Religion focuses on the outward actions of man being clean. Christianity focuses on the inward man being clean. Religion is about making the outside clean or pure. Christianity focuses on the inward nature of man. Christianity is about God giving man a new heart, a new nature, a true living relationship with God. And this is what Jesus is driving home in John chapter 3. Nicodemus is a religious man, and in his religion, he is trying to follow rules. Religion is about rules. And by the way, this is why some people get bitter who grow up in church. They have rules without a relationship. It's all do this and don't do that. You church people don't know how to have any fun. It just sucks the life out of you. That's religion. Don't mistake it. Religion is about rules. Christianity is about a relationship with God. And under this point, let me also add that religion teaches that you have to do your best and hope for the best when God outweighs your works. Christianity teaches that when a person is born again, when a person believes on Christ savingly, they can know for sure that all will be well with their soul. Nicodemus did not know. That's why he was going to Jesus at night. He needed to figure this out before he died. Jesus tells him, Nicodemus can know the truth, and the truth shall set him free. Verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not, promise, he should not perish, but have now eternal life. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Christianity teaches that you can know, that you know God. You can know that you're on your way to heaven. You can know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. 1 John 5, 12 and 13, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus says to the lost Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. And in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul essentially says the same thing to those who are in Athens, in this polytheistic crowd. They were those worshiping, quote, the unknown God. Paul proclaims that God, the true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, can be known. Most people today worship a God they don't know. They worship a God of their own imagination, but I'm telling you that biblical Christianity teaches a God that you can know, a God who is real. So what's the distinguishing differences between religion and true Christianity? Religion teaches that you cannot confidently know that all will be well with your soul when you die. You can't know. Christianity teaches that you can confidently know that all will be well with your soul. This is Jesus' words, John 17, 3. Jesus says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's not a guessing game. We can know. And who would want to belong to a faith where you don't know? Or where you can have it and lose it? If I were to hook up a cord to your brain and show just your thoughts from the past week on the screen for everybody to see, you think it would be a pleasant thing? And that's just your thoughts for 1 week. And you're telling me you have the ability to make yourself holy? How do you know when you gain it and lose it? How many sins? Christianity preaches, it is finished. Our sins can be buried in the depth of forgetfulness. Point number five, religion hates true Christianity. It has been the primary source of persecution toward Christianity. True Christianity never encourages persecution toward other religions. Does this truth surprise you? I hope it does for some of you, for some of the skeptics who just mush everything together. This is a noteworthy point that can be solidified by the Bible and the written records of history. Who was it that killed Abel in Genesis chapter 4? The first martyr. The first murder. Abel, the righteous one, was killed by his religious brother Cain. Who was it that hated Jesus with a passion? Who was it that cried out for Jesus' death? The same people who beforehand cried out, "Hosanna in the highest." Lost religious people. Who persecuted the first century church in Acts? Who put Peter and John in prison? Who killed Stephen? Who went into the homes of Christians terrorizing them? Those who thought that they were of God doing God's work. Who's been the primary source of persecution toward those who boldly yet compassionately teach the truths of God's word? Not just the world, but I hate to tell you, it's been the Catholic Church, the Church in England, Islam, and now the atheistic religion and those among the rainbow religion. It is religion. And they are waging war on the truths of God's word and Christianity. The world and other religions hate Christianity with a passion. They would love it if all religious extremists would be snuffed out of the world. Listen, but true biblical Christianity, I didn't say religion, true biblical Christianity has always loved and cared for lost religious people. Do you know what Jesus said as he died on the cross? To those religious lost people who were crucifying him, he said, "Father, forgive them." He could have called down a legion of angels to destroy them in a moment. We find the same spirit in Stephen. Similar prayer as they were stoning him to death. Lay not their sin to their charge. He didn't call for their death. He didn't cuss them out at his death. Jesus never once called for violence by means of submission. In fact, when Peter foolishly took out his sword to fight physically, Jesus strongly rebuked Peter and reminded him that his kingdom was not of this world. Religion, in a general sense, is about physically dominating, controlling, and making others submit to their teachings. It is. And that's why I mentioned the rainbow religion. I'm sorry if you're offended by that, but you're going to submit how we want to do, whether you like it or not. You're going to believe as we believe. And you're going to honor us as we want to be honored. It's basically submission. True Christianity is about praying for, loving, and forgiving our enemies and kindly setting the truth before the eyes of others so that God might change the hearts of those who hate them. This is a truth you need to solidify on your mind. I'm not talking about fake Christianity. I'm talking about true Christianity. True Christianity loves. Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for them who despitefully use you. Pray for their soul. Oh, by the way, Jesus ate with publicans and prostitutes. We ought to show love to others. The sons of thunder, James and John, wanted to call down fire. Jesus, just call down fire on our enemies. Just destroy them at once. Jesus said, you do not know what spirit you are of. So listen, while we may disagree on certain things, while I might boldly yet kindly call out the rainbow religion, we ought to love sinners because we're all sinners. There's a good place to say amen. We're not any better than they are. Now, some of you see hateful preachers, hateful pastors, hateful churches holding up signs, picketing funerals, pretending themselves to be Christian. They're not Christian. Don't get it twisted. True Christianity loves. Now, we stand on the truth of God's word unashamedly. But we love, we pray, we forgive, we seek after the souls of men. Because if you only saw us in our lost condition, you would know the greatness of our salvation. Point number five, religion hates Christianity and has been the primary source of persecution toward the Christian faith. True Christianity never encourages persecution toward other religions. If someone smacks you, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Don't hit back. Point number six, all religious leaders have died and remain dead. Jesus died and rose again. And this is why Easter Sunday is celebrated among the Christian community every year. Easter Sunday, otherwise known as Resurrection Sunday in the Christian community, has been a day among Christian churches purposely calling to mind that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, resurrected from the dead. In fact, this is why Christians meet on Sundays to worship God every week. Sunday is the first day of the week, and Jesus rose again the first day of the week. Now, this is a significant distinguishing difference between religion and biblical Christianity. It only adds to the points that we have considered thus far. Other pharaohs who thought themselves to be God have died and remain dead. Other popes have died and to this day remain physically dead. The body of Muhammad lived, died, and remains dead. The bodies of Abraham and Moses lived, died, and remain dead. The body of Joseph Smith died and remained dead. The body of L. Ron Hubbard, the originator of Scientology, died and remains dead. The body of Charles Taze Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witness, died and remained dead. But Jesus died and rose again the third day, proving himself to be God. And by the way, his resurrection was the fulfillment of prophecy spoken hundreds of years beforehand, and his resurrection was seen by over 500 people at once. 1 Corinthians 15:3-6, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once." John 11:25-26, Jesus says unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Romans 14:9, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." All religious leaders have died and remain dead. Jesus died and rose again. And this leads us then to the seventh and final confirming characteristic of biblical Christianity compared to all other religions, which is all other religions are false. True biblical Christianity is true. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, not a way. Not one of many ways." Jesus says, "I am the only exclusive way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus." Ephesians 4:4-6, "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So what is the concluding note of my message this morning? Here it is. Religion will lead you to hell. Jesus Christ alone can bring you to heaven. If Jesus is teaching one message to religious Nicodemus who's doing everything he can to get to heaven, it's this message. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you must believe the truth if you are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus, you must be personally born again. You must personally repent and believe the gospel. Your affiliation with religious Israel is not sufficient to bring you to heaven. Your religious works are not sufficient to bring you to heaven. Your Bible knowledge is not sufficient to bring you to heaven. Your morality is not sufficient to bring you to heaven. If you are to be saved, God must do a miracle in your heart. You must come to the end of yourself, and you must believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Nicodemus needed to believe that he's a sinner, fallen short of the glory of God. This is the distinguishing difference between organized religion and true biblical Christianity. Organized religion believes all roads lead to God. True biblical Christianity asserts that Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only door to heaven. Now, in closing, I want to solidify two final truths on your mind. First and foremost, you need to know that Jesus hates organized religion. Did you know that? Jesus hates with a passion organized religion. He hates the harm that is done to others through the hypocrisy of those who pretend to be spiritual when they're not. And there are some in this room who've been hurt and hurt deeply by lost religious people. Remember, Jesus was hurt by lost religious people. If there's one message Jesus preached against more than other during his 3-year ministry, it is his constant rebuking of superficial, fake, two-faced religiosity. Jesus called them out. You proclaim to know God with your mouth, but your heart is far from God. You make the outside clean, but your heart is hypocritical, full of sin. Now, I say this because some want to lump all, quote, faiths and religions and denominations into one entity, claiming that all religion has hurt people more than anything else. And on the one hand, those who make such a claim are not necessarily wrong. But on the other hand, I think it's needful for such people to recognize the differences between man-made religion and true biblical Christianity. And by the way, even among, quote, true Christian biblical Christianity, there are fakes and phonies, because that's how Satan likes to work. Now, I'm persuaded that most churches are filled with lost religious people who don't know God. They think they do, but they don't. I'm persuaded that organized religion and counterfeit Christianity has done more damage to the cause of Christ than any other thing. I'm persuaded that organized religion has sent more people to hell than heaven. And you need to know that not every person, not every place, not every church that calls itself Christian is Christian. You need to know that it was lost religious people who plotted Jesus' crucifixion. So that's the first thing I want to leave you with this morning. Jesus hates organized religion. You say, I wasn't planning to hear that on Easter Sunday morning. Well, write it down and keep it before you. It's true. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find out. He hates organized religion. In fact, leading up to Resurrection Sunday, Jesus went into the temple, started casting out money changers, started flipping over tables, showing himself to be Lord over the temple, purifying the worship of hypocrites. He hates it. Now, the second and final thing I want to leave you with this morning is that Jesus loves and offers forgiveness to religious pretenders as well as non-religious pagans. There are three people in this room today. Those who truly know Christ, those who think they do, there are lost religious pretenders, and then there are those non-religious pagans. They don't care, they don't know. They're here out of curiosity. But you need to know that whether you are a religious, lost person thinking yourself to be Christian, or whether you're an atheistic skeptic, the final thing I want ringing in your ear as you go from this place is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved you. This is the distinguishing difference between religion and true Christianity. In religion, God is viewed as a distant idea, an unknown concept. God's not involved in the lives of others. We cannot know His love. The Christian faith, however, teaches that the true God, the God of the Bible, demonstrated His love for us, for you and for me, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place, sacrificing Himself so that we might be forgiven. God so loves you. God has done everything possible for you to know Him, to be forgiven of your sin, and to live forever in heaven. And all you have to do is turn to Him in faith and repentance and receive the free gift of salvation. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, whether male or female, whether rich or poor, whether religious or non-religious, whosoever shall call in desperation on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So these verses imply that you must know yourself to be lost if you are to be saved. You must know yourself to be a great sinner if you are to know the Savior. Those who are whole do not need a physician. Those who need a physician are those who know themselves to be sick. That's the difference between religion and true biblical Christianity. So the question of all questions for you this morning is, will you believe on Christ? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe on me will never die. And then he follows up with a question, do you believe this? Will you believe this? Let's pray.